get a lot of questions in my mind about section two, and I've answered them all to myself. It looks good.
As it is.
Yeah.
Well, we had some questions as a minister, in fact, Dad. Well,
I did when I first read it.
I never saw more crimes covered in two sentences. More existing crimes covered in two sentences than this one does.
This is kind of a...
Well, that's a famous word in Martin.
This is kind mutually exclusive sort of section, because it covers only those crimes that aren't covered by forgery in the first degree. And why both forgery offenses would come under first degree? Money, checks, stocks, bonds, wills, legal instruments, public records. This, as you indicated, John, relate principally to the minor type of offenses like railroad tickets,
credit cards,
overfeeding on my way. Not credit cards. We will have a section.
That's right, they're separate.
Yeah.
We're going to have a separate section of credit cards. Be filed with a public office or public servant, that or authorized by law to be filed would include the.
Deed that had yet been.
Well, it includes Ed Elder's certificate of honorable discharge from the armed forces. He was a staff sergeant, and he decided to really look a little nicer, to make him look like a tech sergeant, and won't do him any good with the government, because the government has got its own records, and they know he's a staff sergeant.
Well, you're talking more in terms of a written instrument officially issued or created by a public office, public servant, or government agency. I should talk more about filed. Filed and required.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, that the point you make is relevant to that.
Well, what are records that are authorized?
Well, I can file any
kind of
thing.
I like deed, deed, will.
Yeah, but is there any statute that says you cannot file any kind of a piece of paper?
No. You can take any piece of paper.
So isn't any piece of paper authorized by law to be filed?
Recorded. Anything you want recorded.
It may not be public notice, but still it's authorized to be filed.
I think
it's inconsistent. A public record, an alteration of a public record is one thing. The alteration of an instrument, which you may file, which would be any kind of instrument, is pretty broad.
I can see that. I can argue about money because. Counterfeiting the federal offense should be if the state can't issue money, why should it protect the money issued by somebody else? In effect, by making it a state crime to at the same time the state basically is not for law enforcement. I can see the reason for it. We've got to be able to count on the validity of stocks and bonds. We've got to be able to count on the validity of wills, contracts and assignments and security agreements and all these things. But all these, because they're things that people count on to do things with, but just the things that you go up for some reason and file your love letters to your wife, but you could. Well, there's lots of work, you know, or misrepresentations at least. But you can file almost anything.
I'm looking here on the commentary in New York Code. I've got another question that in this day and age seems to me to be relevant to this discussion, and that is the question of forced prescriptions, which I don't think is covered under first degree, and I think it should be. But let's address ourselves first to Bob's question, what's the point of demarcation, I guess?
Notice of its conduct. required to rely on if it's filed, but there's a lot of stuff that can be filed that's immaterial whether it's filed or not.
Wow, this is, what you're trying to cover is an unrecorded deed.
Well, doesn't, isn't that covered really, whether recorded or not, it's covered by three.
Yeah, that would cover deeds.
Supposing the secretary in a law office, taking these things to the courthouse to file them changes is, so that, some benefit to her to do that or something like that, let's say. It ought to be pushed to be.
Well, if it's an instrument, that, evidence creates transfers, alters, terminates, or otherwise affects the legal right, interest, obligation, or status.
Are you reading on?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Then it is first degree, and I can't conceive of anything, even if it were, an accident report by an insurance investigator. It could affect the legal right, interest, obligation, or status, possibly.
This, of course, would cover, this is written now, would cover a license application. You have to reapply for a radio station license. So you have to set forth certain things and then mail it to the Federal Communications Commission. Under this section, why? The crime of forgery, and then we'd be guilty of a state violation as well as federal. I don't think we are now.
Well, here's the case I was looking for, and what I had in mind is why I thought that was a good position. Now, there's an Oregon case, State versus Brantley. And in that case, there was it involved a certificate of nomination. Question arose whether this certificate of nomination was a public record within the meaning of the statute before it had been filed. And within the meaning of the statute, would it be a public record or would it have been filed?
Mm-hmm. It would have to be filed.
And the court said a public record, strictly speaking, is one made by a public officer in pursuance of a duty, the immediate purpose of which is to disseminate information to the public or to serve as a memorial for official transaction for public records. And the courts then went on to say apart from general definitions of a public record, ORS 249820 definitely sets forth when a certificate of nomination becomes a public record. The statute itself determines that until such time as a certificate of nomination is passed from the hands of the person in possession thereof to the county clerk, the public in general has no interest therein. Therefore, the forgery of the certificate of nomination must be the forgery of that document after it has become such a public record by being filed by the court.
Even the forgery would have to have been submitted after it was filed.
Well, the recording then becomes the utter record.
Then it was filed, it was recorded, it wasn't forged.
Well, it became forged at the moment of acceptance of filing.
What statute?
At that time, when there wasn't anything wrong with it. Like, this is so my kid can write his check and deliver a check for $1 million, which he does every once in a while, and there's no real problem to him. He just tries to pass it.
What statute was that, Don, that they were prosecuting that case of?
Well, it was being prosecuted as forgery, as a public forgery of a public record.
Well, couldn't you accomplish the same thing by saying a public record or an instrument which, if filed, would be a public record? Like that?
Well,
they're not technically a public record, though, unless they're certain classes of things, would it? You record a deed without an acknowledgement on it. It's not public knowledge.
Well, it's not public knowledge, but it's public record.
You need to make a distinction, I'm quite sure. Right?
times there.
I was looking for the index to look up the definition of public record, but I can't.
There's an ALR annotation on this. What constitutes public record within the order standard? It said a public record has been defined as a record required by law to be kept or necessary to be kept in the discharge of duty imposed by law or directed by law to serve as a memorial or something written instead of that. In accordance with this definition, the court generally held that various papers with public records within the statute may be considered. It would appear that the particular papers in question were expressly required by law to be kept or filed, or were necessary or convenient to the discharge of the duties of a public official. Papers prior to being so filed or recorded generally are not to constitute public records within the meaning of such a statute.
So do we have an Oregon definition similar to that?
That isn't an Oregon definition.
No, but the ALR annotation is talking about statutes that are like the Oregon statute.
Well, then, couldn't we make an Oregon definition of a public record then if we're going to pass this? Because that sounds all right.
Well, it should probably be in the penal code.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different arguments for public records in this particular thing. The records of another one in the office, for example. Which of them are public records and which of them are known personally. It comes up every time we change presidents of the United States. Which of them are public records and which are he able to take home and write a book about and turn them into $1 million?
Well, which are public property or is it public property what you're talking about instead of public records?
Yeah.
Public record means a document, book, paper, photograph, file, sound recording, or other material, such as court files, mortgage, and deed records, regardless of physical form or characteristics, made, received, filed, or recorded in pursuance of law or in connection with the transaction of public business, whether or not confidential or restricted in use. Public records includes correspondence, public records made by photocopying and public writings, but does not include records of the Legislative Assembly, Library and Museum, records made or acquired and preserved solely for reference or exhibition purposes, extra copies of a document preserved only for convenience of reference, a stock of publications. The key phrase is made, received, filed, or recorded in pursuance of law or in connection with the transaction of public business.
Public business.
Yeah. Now, the love letters might have been filed for convenience of reference, but don't think they'd...
When did they become public records? Make a separate one, they say. At the moment, Charlie?
Well, as I read this, unless they're recorded pursuant to law, as various statutes that provide certain things can be recorded, or unless they're filed in connection with the transaction of public business, like exhibits in trial or something or so on, then, regardless of the fact that the clerk might take them and put them away, charge you a fee, they're not public.
You never do get them, do you?
Yeah, but now we've still got the problem of instrument. File. Public record. Why can't we just strike out authorized?
Got one other definition?
Well, what he's trying to get at is the forgery of this document before it becomes a public record.
Right. That was the purpose of this.
So my suggestion was that a public record of our invention, which would or could, upon filing or recording, become a public.
Well, look, what you're saying that in view of the fact that the public record is defined doesn't embrace what Bob apparently thought it did at the beginning, there's nothing wrong with this.
Nice try.
Because it's got a hole in that area.
Got a hole.
Group of instruments. And include something authorized by law to be filed.
Now, this is an instrument. If it was a public record, one filing record required to be authorized by law to be filed is one thing, but if any instrument is authorized by law to be filed, why you got them all up?
Why can't you just strike authorized? What does that do to you? Instrument. Required.
It defeats its purpose.
Huh?
The purpose is to get the document, and put the document which wouldn't be a public record if it was filed, but it wasn't yet filed.
Well, how about the ones that are just required to be filed?
Well, some of them might not be required to, but it could be.
That's because you've got all the others taken care of, but they're pretty well in three, right? So you strike authorized, and then what do you have? Don't you have it all taken care of, you're concerned about?
Why don't you just say a public record required or authorized by law to file with a public office, whether or not it is filed.
Anybody have a chance?
Yeah, yeah. Because you're taking out instrument.
Yeah, you take an instrument out.
An instrument falls, if it doesn't come within the scope of the other provisions, first degree would go back into...
Well, is the document a public record before it is filed?
I don't think so. I've got a woman on Ben who thinks that it isn't a public record until it's been heard.
Major C.
I'm not sure if we got a paper before they ever, first thing I knew about it when I read the paper. Of course you do that. How the documents were served.
It has to pass.
That's exactly. I used to have some lawyer to read that. I told him, see.
The lawyers really like you. All the agents, there's some of them. This guy would not have come.
Yeah, but you keep them busy. They've got it. Okay.
Made,
received,
filed.
Not support
Montana.
It doesn't have to be filed as long as it's made. Isn't that right?
made in pursuance to law or in the transaction of public business?
Mm-hmm.
Well, give us an example then. A deed that isn't filed is made in pursuance to law by virtue of the fact that it's an executed deed. Does it therefore become a public record?
No. I've never thought so, but the reading of this would seem to be what it said.
The various agencies, like I was just thinking the public health agency makes various recordings, records of biostatistics. We had the case, if you remember, when somebody sued the Board of Health.
Yeah, I remember.
To compel them to divulge the amount of pollution in the air, or no, the radioactive material, I guess, in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Which the Board of Health is not public. Well, that is something that is not to be made, but there's no, in the normal sense of the word thing, being filed or recorded.
Board of Health now gives you that sort of stuff because of that case.
Right.
And when you ask for it, if you're specific and go to the right guy, and they think probably you know about that case.
Isn't that a public record because it's transactions by a public agency? Does that make it?
I've forgotten what the particular language is that not supposed to be a public record. I suppose there are all kinds of statistics, material, and so on gathered by the various departments or agencies that you don't think of as being recorded.
Well, the public, the health department gets a lot of information about diseases and certain identified people. Are afflicted with their intended reason for not giving out. That's where they have a lot of problems with whether it's public record or whether it isn't.
Yeah, they have records on
the
report.
Well, everybody's got a venerable disease, you know, like that. And we got into it where we were trying those polio vaccine cases, and we wanted to study the incidence of polio disease in Oregon, and we were able to talk them out of it. But we did promise to try to keep these names secret and all that, and we just wanted statistics. But they get into it.
Didn't that statute say whether confidential or not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not confidential or restricted in use. Well, if I understand, Don, what you want to do is to put the sanction first degree on first degree forgery on the person who would forge either a public record or an instrument that was authorized to be
going
on the record, whether it was filed or not.
Right, that's what I was trying to do.
Like on the way to the courthouse.
Maybe I can put my objection to it in a different fashion. What I'm trying to avoid is the prosecution of somebody first degree forgery charge when what he forged doesn't really make any difference to anybody. And the only reason he's being prosecuted is because he punched the district attorney in the nose 2 weeks ago, and the district attorney was looking for some way to get even with him. There's no public, purpose being served by what's he's accused of forging, or if there's no public harm resulting from forging that one thing, except for the fact that he actually wrote somebody else's name, which is perhaps morally reprehensible, but not criminal.
I can't conceive of an instrument that wouldn't fall into the category delineated in subsection 3. I mean, I think you could just cut this 4 down to the public record, and the remainder of that section would be covered by 3 if it was an instrument of any value or importance at all, and if it were not, then it would only be proper that it fall back into section 3.
Do I have more reading public records required by law to be filed? No, you don't need that.
What you mean is a public record, then drop out or an instrument. And then just make a public record filed or required or authorized by law to be filed with a public office, public record. It's the other instrument, I think, isn't it? That creates the problem.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a filing or authorizing the filing.
More than anything else, or is that?
Well, it was just a situation like this Brantley case that brought it up. And they were talking about a certificate of nomination.
Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't it be all right to say a public record period?
That would cover that, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't cover it.
I mean, that would leave our law where it is with respect to. And, you know.
Yes. Well, if you knocked out the instrument and you said a public record filed or required or authorized by law to be filed with the public office or public servant, would it then cover Brantley?
I don't think so. Well, are we talking about something? How many people file nonsensical documents?
Quite a few.
Do you really?
Yeah, you go up to the county records and you find things that really not sure of any purpose at all. $1 million.
Okay, but you got to keep in mind, though, there's got to be an intent to injure or defraud.
Yeah, how many people commit forgery on those nonsensical documents?
I think your answer takes care of it.
Either intent to defraud.
No intent to injure or defraud, why doesn't make any difference?
But regardless of that, if you say, well, it's okay the way it is because any of that nonsensical stuff, there couldn't be any intent to injure fraud, so we'll leave it like this. I think if we do that, we're skirting our responsibility here, because if this additional language doesn't serve any purpose, then we're just creating a problem to the courts and the people affected by this in the future. And I can't see, frankly, what we gain by the use of the word instrument, or frankly, what we gain by the use of anything after the word record.
Wouldn't your Brantley situation be covered in 3 documents which would affect the legal right?
Or status?
Obligation.
It was a forgery of the certificate of nomination. It would certainly affect a person's legal status.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly affect his rights.
Well, yeah.
Because that's new language. That's not language.
Yeah, I think right.
But I was thinking of it in relation to public record rather than one of these other that I sent out 3.
If you file one of these love letters and it's forged and it becomes pretty racy after it's forged, is that litigation proof?
Litigation proof?
Yeah. Well, you know, remarks you make in a trial, of course, are.
In fact, wouldn't the act of filing it, the act of filing it would be a I would think so, yeah. Proof of publication without having to call any witnesses or anything else. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
You just gave me the world's greatest offer, but I don't think it'll work.
Well, why don't you mention it to your attorney? Hey, maybe you haven't got that.
I don't want to.
You might put that on the mast yet up there, though. This is filed in public record.
America's only duly reported newspaper.
Has ever come up in Oregon under our statute, but
research and forgery, but
now
maybe it's never occurred to anybody.
But I'm now in favor of the words or purports to be.
So we did a job on him.
That didn't take very long, did it?
Well, I'm always kind of suspicious of something that says that. It is or it isn't. But it doesn't make any difference here.
You're susceptible to the editorial influence.
Well, let me ask, are we then by making and adopting, we adopt Section 3 the way it is, and we've already adopted Section 2, are we then saying that ordinary forgery of checks is a second degree forgery?
No.
Forgery is forgery, how do you?
Commercial instrument?
Section 3.
Oh, commercial instrument, yeah, sorry. Okay.
165-105, as we discussed on page 8 of the minutes, has as one of its sections
application of purchase state lands.
We left that out. Now, I suppose that probably that would be covered by 3, as far as another document that creates or affects the legal title. Could we insert legal title and then say, or otherwise affect a legal title, right, interest, obligation, or status?
Would be title, both a right, status, interest, all three of them.
I think he argued that it would be.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not sure if he argued it was an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in some cases it's an obligation, but a title.
But I think it should be made crystal clear in our commentary.
Right,
identify what the man's charged with.
I got it.
With this satisfy that objection. Put sub 1 and then sub A, complete written instrument, and sub B, incomplete written instrument. In other words, make complete and incomplete subparagraphs under the...
Well, it would seem to me like still that it would be better to put back in the definitions that this definition includes the words to that effect, either complete or incomplete.
Put that into one. Put that into one.
So the written instrument is any kind of a thing, whether it's complete, partially complete, some scratches on it, or whatever it may be. That when you use the word written instrument, it then in and of itself is an identifiable thing.
Well, you see, you're right, because we have the same thing as
section 2
and far as section 2.
Yeah. We'd have to add it, whether complete or incomplete, whether section 2 speak over.
Dig out the language and or I drew pictures on there.
Well, we can put that in 1, and sub 1, and still leave sub 2 and 3. Or do you think those should be taken out?
No, if you're gonna specifically refer to them, you're gonna have to define them someplace, aren't you?
If the word complete or incomplete, you can just say whether the instrument is completely executed or not. The word complete seems to me like it has no technical or semantic meaning.
Well, the proposal that I made was to, after person, put whether or not completed and fully drawn with respect to every essential feature thereof.
Or you could put, kind of refer to thereof, line 3, or the equivalent thereof, comma, whether complete or incomplete, comma, and then just use the rest of the thing, including the definitions.
Right.
And strike 2 and 3.
No,
leave them there.
Yeah.
Right, that's right. If you put the word complete in, leave in there. Number 1.
I pulled that.
Then you're done.
Yeah.
Well,
2
and 3 define what you mean by the words you're putting in up there after thereof.
You moved in that following the comma on line 3 of sub 1, we insert the words whether complete or incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Close, no. Okay. Question is, whether there remains a necessity for subs 2 or 3.
I think there does.
Any further discussion?
I don't think any harm done by it. Might be some use to it.
Makes 2 and 3.
Doesn't it protects a legal right, interest, obligation, or status, I don't think.
You're going to have to find a description
property or money, security, closing for revenue stands. Created by a public office.
Now, I think you need a separate provision in there if you want prescriptions to be covered.
You see, in New York, they included in second degree.
Yeah, I don't think it should be first degree.
Well, wouldn't, as a matter of public policy, the kind of prescription that you need, I think, is a narcotics prescription.
Mm-hmm. That's taken care of under the narcotics code.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think it is.
Of course, a prescription, going back to definition, is a symbol or evidence of identification. Or is it?
Well, we don't have...
I'm trying to figure out whether we can make prescription fit under the present Section 2 as we adopt it. And then I go back to the definitions. It's a written instrument which he knows to be forged. If we agree that the prescription is an instrument.
Oh, you mean under secondary forgery?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would come under secondary forgery.
Well, that's at the present.
Any written instrument?
Yeah, but with intent to injure or defraud. Now, I go into your drugstore, and I have a prescription which I forged. I give it to you, and you fill it, and say that's $10, and I give you $10. Now, I'm not defrauding you, and I'm not injuring you. But conceivably, we argued that I'm injuring the doctor, or I'm injuring myself. But,
you don't have intent to injure yourself.
No.
Some cases, yes, but not very many.
Well, I wonder if, of course, I'm passing a written instrument which I know to be forged, so therefore it would be affected by
this still.
Well, I'm wondering
you if you have intent to injure the front, though, on that floor, too.
Keeping your distinctions clear. If this prescription, particularly narcotics, then it shouldn't be in the Narcotics Act. Because forgery normally you think of as, here we're talking about bank checks, instruments having legal rights, commercial things, this type of thing. As you say, if you forge a prescription, you're really defrauding in a sense.
Well, what about the...
And that it is covered now under 47417, obtaining drug unlawfully, which includes an attempt. Obtaining or attempting is the...
We have some cases of people coming in with
forged. In fact, one of them is sub B, under no person shall obtain or attempt to obtain a narcotic drug or procure or attempt to procure the administration of a narcotic drug by fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, or subterfuge. And under B, by the forgery or alteration of a prescription or of any written order, or by the use of false name.
Is there any reason why New York put it under the second degree?
They put in prescription. They got with intent to injure and defraud too.
Right, first guilty of forgery, second degree, and win with intent to defraud, deceive, or injure. Another, he falsely makes, completes, or alters a written instrument, which is or purports to be, or which is calculated to become, or to represent if completed, a prescription of a duly licensed physician, authorized to issue the same for any drug, or any instrument or device used in the taking or administering of drugs for which a prescription is required by law.
Well, we'd have deceived our present Section 2, and then Sub 2 would take care of a prescription.
My New York text is set out on page 12 of your draft. It's important to conceive what is brought. That's pretty, that's pretty comprehensive. It's set up on it.
I personally think it's too broad. And of course, the mens rea that we've got in our draft is the same, as I pointed out, the same as we have in our law now. Injury and fraud is the required element of mental health.
What do you think about concerning deceit? Why?
Well, I think for one thing, you're getting into some crimes that I think are amply covered, or would be amply covered, as attempted theft by deception, for example.
Yeah, you're getting into a whole new concept of
forgery. I think you're calling something forgery. As a matter of fact, like the model penal code people point out, forgery could really have been eliminated as a separate crime. And I think if we're going to keep it as a separate statutory crime, that we don't want to broaden it to where we're actually talking about obtaining under false pretenses and attempted theft by deception and this type of thing. And I also agree with Justice Sloan with respect to prescription. I think that about the only time that this is going to be any kind of problem is with respect to narcotics. And I think that it's covered now under the Uniform Narcotic Drug Law, which is part of Oregon law. And I think that leave it where it is.
Do we have a separate section on theft by deception?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's part of theft. It's part of the theft draft under 10 draft number 1.
But this wouldn't be theft.
He's
a drink of the medicine in the bottle.
That's right.
What you're doing is diluting the effect of the statute of controlling the sale of dangerous drugs of all kinds, whether they're narcotics or not, if we put that deceit here and have prescriptions.
Well, it would not only, assuming that we put the seed, it would
overlook
it could allow a lot of tomfoolery to raise its ugly head, couldn't it, under the guise of criminal or defense. I know that an instrument is falsely forged, or forged, and it's a letter that, it's a telegram to Bob Chandler saying, from his wife, say, meet me in Portland, I'm arriving at 5 o'clock. So you fly down to Portland to meet her and meet to the airport and say, ha, ha, ha. You go back and get an indictment next week for it.
You should be indicted. You certainly should be. Only just.
Boy,
it was that elder, we just put her in hell.
Well, what's the
good thing? Well, it's got to be a crime under the narcotics code.
It would be. It wouldn't be under theft by deception because that comprehends obtaining.
But it's going to be covered under the narcotics code, which seems to be adequately covered there.
Yes, but is there any purpose in protecting the statutes or the idea of protecting the public against dangerous drugs of all kinds?
There's language in the New York Code where it talks about
there's
got to
be other
drugs. Well, I just
here's would add addition,
yeah,
to make part sub three of this description of a duly licensed physician or other person authorized to use the same kind of drug or any instrument or device, so forth.
Hey, yeah, but my thought is it doesn't belong in the forgery statute, but it might belong someplace else. And it shouldn't be limited necessarily to narcotics.
No.
There are other dangerous drugs that the statute to protect.
But for which a prescription is required.
Yeah, the integrity of a prescription should be protected.
Well, I think that's pretty well done. It wasn't at one time, but I think in the last, within the last two legislatures, I think you took care of it. But
it did with reference to drugs. I don't know about the, somebody gets, when they cut pills or not narcotics.
Yeah, you're right. You may be, you're right. Prescriptions per se, I think maybe there is an opening there.
What Bruce is saying is that a prescription deserves to be protected, but protected in a lesser degree than a deed, will, codicil, contract, or so forth.
Well, it's a different concept, too. It's forging and deed, will, and that stuff is to steal some money from somebody else.
Narcotics and dangerous drugs. Narcotics are covered in 475. Sale and possession of dangerous drugs without a prescription is prohibited. And it specifically provides no person shall willfully make any false statement in any prescription order, report, or record required by this section, or by fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, or subterfuge, obtain or attempt to obtain any drug, or the administration of any drug, including under subsection 1 of this section.
Well, that takes care of it.
That takes
what's
care
subsection
of it.
1? What's the definition?
That takes
any
care
drug?
Of it. Well, this is the chapter on dangerous drugs, as opposed to narcotics. So,
I suppose is this going to be confined then to drugs that the State Board of Pharmacy or whatever it is hearing to determine to be dangerous drugs?
Yes.
What about the thing that's a non-dangerous drug that can become dangerous if taken in large quantities and doesn't classify as a dangerous drug? Second off, that's classified as a dangerous drug.
You're saying the same thing I was trying to say.
That, as it is now, it relates to dangerous drugs and narcotics. But what about the integrity of the prescription? Now, is there possibly something in the Medical Practices Act or something there?
It's going to look under Chapter 453 of the drugs, etc. It's general drugs.
I don't think I'm going to.
See, New York says for any drug for which a prescription is required by law. Now that's broader.
Mm-hmm.
Under this section, providing that the person who shall falsely admit or to set a doctor's prescription shall be guilty of third degree, or now second degree, forgery. The person intended to be released was not the doctor, but the person impersonating the doctor. And this section was not violated when the doctor signed his own name to authorize prescription blank for narcotics and attempt to conceal the name of the patient by use of a false name.
Mm-hmm.
John, well, you're looking for that.
Well, there's nothing in chapter 453 in the whole chapter on public health safety and laws. I can't locate any of that. Make a criminal to attempt to obtain a prescription drug by a false or forced prescription, unless it's a narcotic or dangerous drug. I just don't think there's any prohibition against that.
So, what if we hypothetically inserted a second degree forgery here, a section relating to prescriptions? Is it going to run headlong into the...
You have to exclude dangerous drugs and narcotic drugs.
Yeah, is it going to run headlong into the narcotic and dangerous drug sections?
Yeah, make the distinction.
Well, I don't think it belongs in 43, but I do think it belongs in some place in the health code.
Might indicate that in our report to the legislature.
Well, it's sure close to this section 2.
Yeah,
though.
But you've got to change your concept from fraud to deceive, injure or defraud. You've got to include that deceive concept, and you do that, and you're getting into another whole.
Well, you have in your inserted section, you have to put in there deceive intent to include deceive.
If we're talking about a drug that's a narcotic or a dangerous drug, something that could be a threat to public health and welfare and that sort of thing, it's amply covered already by the law. If it doesn't concern that problem, why should we make it a crime?
Well, if it doesn't cover that, the thing that we're getting at really is the impersonators. And the person that's somehow impersonating the doctor. And if you can't reach him by means of forgery route, maybe there's a, you could reach him by the obtained by false pretense.
Well, if that you could reach him by a section on false impersonation or something like that, perhaps. That's what
would be that section of the
field. If, you know, if that's what you're concerned with, someone impersonating that someone else.
No, that isn't a concern here.
Well, there are a lot of crimes that have requirement to have a prescription for a pretty good reason that have not been classified by the Board of Health as dangerous drugs.
Sure. How about birth control pills?
Yeah. Or like cold pills or some kind of thing that there is some danger to, as a matter of fact, but they have not been so classified.
Well, hole in the present statutes, but something we're not sure that we want to make this kind of a crime.
Well, it seems to me that we, right here, and the five or six of us, are going to know a whole lot more about the problems involved than in this area. Possible solutions, then the whole Criminal Law Revision Commission is going to know about it, and an awful lot more than the whole legislature is going to know about it. And if we feel that this is the sort of thing that doesn't come within the scope of our work in crimes against property, then I don't think it's enough to just report to the legislature. I think we should agree on the solution among ourselves and make a specific recommendation rather than throw it to the legislature.
Well, I wasn't trying to be facetious when I said that. I don't really think it belongs in here because. In fact, I go so far as to say I'm not even sure that I'm convinced that it belongs in the criminal code.
Tell you what I'll do.
But
I'll write a letter to Compact.
To who?
To the Medical Association and ask them what their views are with respect to the existence of the problem.
We're just calling Morse critical. Do you think there's a real problem in getting on?
Well, should we just leave this open then for the time being?
Yes, I had to suggest the letter because.
No, I was kidding, of course. I think it's a good idea.
But what we're really talking about is protecting the individual from himself. Isn't that really the concern here, that somebody's meant to get a drug in a larger quantity than it's good for him, or
well,
health, or
No.
What are we trying to prohibit? That's why I'm not quite clear on.
Well, how about the parent that forges a prescription for the children, let's say, and gives them two large doses? How about that sort of thing? I can think of, there are lots of things.
Well, that's what Don said, protecting the individual from himself, including his children.
Well, yeah, well, I think there are other instances where people forge prescriptions where they do damage to other people.
Yeah.
I can easily find them.
Two-thirds of the mothers think that because I got an antibiotic from my doctor,
they should use it on their kids.
That, by golly, it's good for my two-year-old, so I don't want to go pay a doctor $5 to get a prescription. I'll get one this way and kill their kid.
There is an unbelievably large amount of that going on, honestly, Don. It's more of a problem than just an occasional or casual.
Well, I think there's two or three very legitimate inquiries, or areas of inquiry. The person that forges the prescription and impersonating the doctor. The person who has obtained this to sell it to somebody else, give to his friends or family. And you put your finger on it when you say there's a public policy, this public policy involved in protecting the integrity of the prescription.
And another area is people getting a prescription from more than one doctor for the same medication.
Well, no one's ever asked for a law in the legislature, have they, on this? The druggist, or the pharmacist, or doctor, anybody ever asked the legislature to enact a statute prohibiting this kind of thing?
Well, I'm not sure. I know that for some reason it takes a lot of doing to get one of these things done. I know that it took one way of a lot of effort to get the dangerous drug law passed. It was just a knockdown, drag out fight. And so they thought they'd do that because it's such an overwhelming public need for it. Now, for some reason or other, this apparently hasn't been done, and I can't tell you why. I think probably bills are introduced in every session, and somehow they get lost in it.
Well, there have been bills on this?
I can't say. I think so, I said.
I don't remember.
I don't remember me to do this. I think there's a public need here that's just, and I can't tell you why the doctors haven't been more militant about this.
I'd be more likely to be the druggist who would do that.
Yeah, I've seen the need. The pharmacists would be the ones who would be up in arms because they're sticking their neck out.
The next year out to a mile and a half, doctor can clear himself very easily, except in the social sense, but the legal sense of clear himself very easily. Say, well, somebody must have stolen those, that's not my signature. I think the public hasn't been represented in here much, but the special interests have pretty well, and I think the pharmacists aren't very strong. They don't have very strong lobbies.
The optometrists.
Yeah, they get knocked around quite a bit by the bigger lobbies. And maybe that's the reason for it. I can't tell you why.
New York code that they apparently limited to physicians because there's dentists and other practitioners that. No, it said a duly licensed physician or other person authorized to issue the stay.
Yeah. Natural of that.
Yeah.
Dentist.
Yeah, sure they will prohibit it.
Or wait for it. Well, my suggestion would be that we,
that's my concern.
Well, my suggestion is that we defer action on it this time, but not drop it completely, and get a little bit more information about where the problem really is. I'm a little bit hesitant about putting the word deceive in second three and opening this up more. I think it's so important that we keep our specific crimes here tight. I'll write a letter to the or try to find out if we can see what
Now on that question, see the model penal code. Now we presently have ordinance. Our intent is stated that the court is intent to injure or defraud. Model penal code is used to defraud or injure. New York's unwilling to include as far as to say see. Michigan just says they go the other way. They just say with intent to defraud.
Well, if it's acceptable to you that we just
and Michigan omits prescriptions. We don't include prescriptions. None of there's no commentary on prescriptions in any of these items.
I'll have to admit I can understand the medical profession and some of the things they oppose and some of the things they advocate.
I don't think they do.
But I do not understand their policies. I feel strongly sometimes that they aren't in public interest.
But assuming without deciding necessarily that we think that
this is not like the Supreme Court.
That this should be
not like the paper.
That this should be covered someplace in the law, assuming that it's thinking it's are we agree though that it really doesn't belong to crimes against property generally?
At this time. Let's agree on that.
Okay.
Alright. Now I got one other question, and that is if you look at the New York thing on page 12, the preface language there, they say he falsely, let's go, written instrument, which is or purports to be, and we cut it off there, Don, and they say is or purports to be, or which is calculated to become or to represent if completed. Now, are we deficient because we didn't close that? Or does our definition of written instrument and as it's broken down under this?
Well, I think it does. If you want to really nail the door shut, I suppose you could throw another language in there.
Violate section 2. That is, if he falsely makes complete or alters an written instrument or utters it. He violates number 2. And the written instrument is or purports to be or is calculated to become. Or represent if completed. Now maybe the purports to be covers it and this additional language is duplicitous or redundant.
Well, isn't that taken care of by our definitions of complete or incomplete in our statement in section one? Does it matter whether it's complete or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Takes care of it.
Okay. That's all the questions that I have.
Well, I move we approve section three.
As amended.
As amended in part four. Part four was amended.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Yay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No. Section three is approved. Ruling here that we also approve section one as we amended it, as we amended it. When we were discussing section three. Now section four, everyone's possession of the fourth section of the section three.
Our 165-120. It's 5 years since the maximum. Possession of forged evidence of death. Possession of forged writings other than those specified is not prohibited. So this draft would include all forged instruments as we define the term in subsection 8, section 1. And as I stated earlier, with respect to placing uttering in with forgery rather than with possession, This comes from New York, section 172-0, but it does not include uttering this as part of the crime of possessing.
And we have a new expression here, forged instrument, which is already what we cover in the definition, which to me like it's good. Any discussion in section four?
Well, New York's got either utter or possesses.
But we cover utter.
In first degree, don't we?
Well, in
second degree,
yeah. We have both. Either one. And your rationale for that was, it seems to you that uttering is more severe than possession and is equivalent to forgery in as far as its sanction is concerned in our present law.
Yes.
I agree.
I do.
Is there a motion?
That's what we need to adopt section four as is.
And there's a second, I assume.
I'll second.
Move to second, and we adopt section four as is. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote no. Pass section five.
Now this just ups the crime to first degree if it's of the kind of instrument that we indicated earlier in section three was more serious.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So move it down to
the second to adopt section five. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Don't you know?
Oh, I made a note that I want to call your attention. Under existing law, I should have also cited 165. 6-0,
1-2-0. You need a counterfeit?
Yeah. Because 165, 160 includes possession of counterfeit coins. Our definition of instrument include that.
Well, our definition of written instrument includes counterfeit money and also in felt. Coin came within that.
Yeah.
So it seems to be inconsistent with written instrument.
Well,
that's why we had language, written or printed matter or the equivalent thereof, and also a symbol of or evidence of value. But with both sections 4 and 5, I was assuming that this would continue to be a less serious crime than forgery, as it is presently.
Forgery or
it's going to be less serious than forgery, it's going to be less serious than uttering. Despite the fact he knows it was forged and he intends to do it.
Mm-hmm, but I haven't done it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's really an inchoate crime, is what it is.
What's that mean?
Well, it's a preparatory to actually committing a crime, and this is just a...
Well, no, again, every one of these meetings I learn a new word.
I suppose, and I imagine if George Platt were here, he would say, well, since he's working on inchoate crimes, that these kind of sections, possession type of crimes, could well be covered as inchoate crimes.
Yeah, but they fit in here.
Yeah, but they fit in here just like, well, with our burglary, possession of burglary tools. I think there's a sound reason for having those set out specifically as a
so the trick is to get caught before you go up to the window.
If you're going to get caught at all,
right? Yeah. All right. Well, we've proved it. You better move on.
Yeah, I shouldn't say anything after you. But I can.
I feel like you're harder than I usually have thought today, but you've gotten by with fewer violations to your wording.
Well, I feel duty bound even when you've already approved a section to call certain things to the case.
I'm glad you do, because there may be something we're going to do. We're going to get caught by something.
All right, now section 6. I'm waiting to get over to section 7, reading the language of this preface. Let's go to section 6.
Oh, I don't have section 6 in my
notes. Yeah, after the food. Oh, mentioned.
Yeah, those were sent out later. That's why you may not have it to do. They were sent out without the cover, so you just put it.
This is section 6 is a crime that is new to the Oregon code, isn't it?
Well, no. And,
counterfeiting tools.
Yeah, we've got two sections, 165-125 and 165-165. 125 talks about manufacture or possession of devices adapted and designed for forging or making any false or counterfeit evidence of death. And it's interesting here, the maximum punishment there is 5 years. And 165-165, uses about the same language, except it relates to possession, manufacture of implements for counterfeiting coins. There is maximum punishment 10 years.
10 years for a 50 cent piece, but only 5 years for a $2 million bond.
You know, there isn't one single Oregon case on counterfeit. There's never come up, apparently.
Well, yeah.
You know, it stands to reason why it's here in heaven. You think maybe way back in the dim dark past, someplace here, there was
somebody the federal dollar.
I suppose when some of these acts were passed, there was a script and state coin.
Yeah.
I would think so, but there sure aren't any cases.
I don't know when they prohibited having state banks issue currency.
Well, after the 1.5% passes and people start forging the warrants that the counties and school districts start issuing, maybe we'll have some cases.
Yeah.
need for warrants.
I think it's important that I point out here under, now, under subsection.
Everybody.
Section six.
Right, under subsection one of section six, we're talking about devices or articles that are criminal per se. I mean, it's really a.
Specifically designed for use in counterfeiting or otherwise forging written instruments.
All right, there is another use that these devices could be used, put to. They're obviously.
That word specifically says that.
What if I bust into the bin bulletin and steal their check protector? And somebody tells the DA that I have to get a search warrant, and they go into my house and they find a bin bulletin check protector. They don't find any checks that I forged.
And that thing wasn't specifically designed for use in counterfeiting. It was.
You come under sub two.
Now you have to get you under two.
That's
if you're going to go under this statute. You have to come under two, which is, and you'd have a greater burden on the state under two.
You have to prove that I had intent to use it.
Yeah, or to aid another to use it for purposes of forgery.
Yeah.
Now the other,
because
the other way
would be unconstitutional.
It would be possession of stolen property.
Right.
Yeah. Now this will be a little use section.
But otherwise, you see, section two, you'd run into the same problem they had up in Portland under that their burglary tool ordinance. There wasn't any requirement to prove an intent to use this for burglary, and possessing a screwdriver could be a violation of the ordinance, and that's where they got in trouble with that statute. Trouble with that ordinance. So. You add the additional element under subsection 2, an intent to use unlawfully.
You need your money.
Yeah, this could be a legitimate type of thing that could be used, like a check writer or check protector.
Under 2.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other is criminal per se. In other words, if I was caught with a seal in the state of Oregon that I was using to turn out for forged instruments of some kind, that would be illegal to say.